Welcome to Come and Reason with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Tim Jennings. Together we will reason through complex issues to find evidence-based answers that harmonize scripture, science, and our life experiences. I'm your Come and Reason host, Charles Mills. This program is sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Welcome, everyone. I hope you're enjoying these broadcasts as Dr. Jennings presents portions of his book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. On today's show, we hear part three of the chapter The Good Doctor entitled Casualties of War. And we've learned that we are part of a cosmic conflict between Christ and Satan, between good and evil. The battleground, our minds. The weapons, truth versus lies. The battle plan, freedom versus enslavement. The prize, eternal life versus eternal destruction. The stakes couldn't be higher. On our last broadcast, Dr. Jennings outlined the key to staying on the path of life. Now we pick up right where we left off as the author and presenter explains how God suspends the consequences of sin for a time and how he is not anything like what his enemies portray him to be. Let's listen.
Imagine yourself atop the Empire State Building. God has said, "In the day that thou jumpeth off the Empire State Building, thou shalt surely die." Soon, Satan, in the form of an eagle, instead of a serpent, comes soaring by and calls God's trustworthiness into question. "Did God really say that in the day you jump, you will die? Oh, no, you won't. Look at me. I can fly because I jumped. God is only trying to keep you from flying too." So you jump. What a thrill. The air rushes by, the speed builds, and you must certainly be flying. But then you notice that you're going only one way, straight down. Overcome by fear, you realize that if things don't change, you will surely die. As fear overwhelms you, God suddenly reaches out and stops you in midair. Suspending the consequences, he graciously gives you an opportunity to step through a window and live. He has even sent his son to be thrown off the building to demonstrate what happens, but this time God restrained himself and did not suspend the consequences for a son. And as we hear Christ say, my God, why have you forsaken me?" we see that instead of reaching an exalted state of existence, the violation of the law of gravity results in death, and as a natural consequence, not an imposed penalty. But if you persistently tell God to get out of your life, if you repeatedly refuse his entreaties to step through the window and insist on going your own way, he will respect your freedom and let you do as you wish. And when he lets go, you will fall to your death, the natural result of the violation of God's universal law. The theory that God is unforgiving and requires appeasement transforms him into an arbitrary dictator pleased with sacrifices. It creates a disparity between the Father and the Son, particularly when you recall that this theory also depicts Christ as a merciful mediator who pleads to his vengeful Father in an attempt to protect us from the Father's wrath. Those who refuse to surrender their reason have rightly rejected this theory. Unfortunately, we as Christians have all too often failed to present effectively the truth that God is not like this, leaving many to reject the notion of deity altogether. We have failed to declare the truth that Christ is God's envoy, representative, and ambassador who brings us the truth about God and his methods and principles. We have left many with the choice of surrendering reason or rejecting God. Given those two choices, many people prefer to reject a deity who would require one to surrender reason rather than to accept an irrational belief system. The good news, as articulated in this book, is that God is not like this. He truly respects our individuality, our ability to think and reason. When we understand this truth and begin to trust such a God, we leave the path of death and enter the path of life. And after we have started on the path of life and cooperated with the Lord for the healing of our minds, there still remains one more reason the righteous suffer.
Mm-hmm.
the first chapter of the book of Job permits us to view behind the veil to see the war being waged in heaven. The scene begins with God sitting on his throne. Around him have gathered the sons of the morning, God's intelligent creatures from throughout the universe. Soon Satan arrives from roaming on earth. Then God does something astounding. He makes a judgment about Job, observing to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? He is perfect and righteous in all his ways. There is no one on the earth like him." But Satan responds, "Oh, no, he's not. Job merely pretends to be righteous because you pay well. Take away your bribes and we'll see his true character. He will curse you to your face." Now the contest begins. Who is telling the truth, God or Satan? The sons of the morning must have had their interest heightened when they heard the Lord declare, "Okay, Satan, Job is in your hands. You can do anything you like with him except kill him." Satan was free to treat Job any way he wanted. And what did he do? He could have given Job 100 times more wealth than he already possessed. But he didn't. Because Satan is the destroyer, he immediately wiped out the man's wealth, children, and health. In doing so, Satan revealed to the onlooking universe that he, not God, is the destroyer. Why would the Lord allow such a thing? Many people assume that Job's story serves as an illustration for how the righteous endure suffering. More accurately, it concerns the universal war between good and evil. Angels cannot read hearts and minds. If they could, Satan would never have deceived 1/3 of them during the first conflict in heaven. When God declared Job righteous, Satan contended otherwise. The angels could not determine who was telling the truth. If Job were to yield to Satan's temptation to curse God, then Satan could turn to the onlooking universe and declare, "See, I told you. God was wrong about Job, and he's wrong about me. You can't trust what God says." The issues at stake in the book of Job are enormous. But Job was such a trusted friend of God that God could call this human being to the witness stand of the universe to say what is right about God. Sometimes the righteous suffer as witnesses, demonstrating the difference between the two antagonistic motives, God's methods of love and liberty, and Satan's way of selfishness, force, and coercion. God's government offers true freedom. He allows individuals to exercise their will for good or for evil openly, thus revealing to all, both the onlooking universe and us, what happens when one prefers Satan's methods to God's. As we have seen in the lives of many of the patients discussed in this book, when God's methods get ignored, pain and destruction occur. The Lord allows such painful events to happen because he truly does provide freedom. At the same time, however, the abuse of our freedom reveals the difference between God's methods and Satan's. God wants us to see the way of health, the way of life, the way of love and liberty, and then freely choose his methods and live. It is only by the free exercise of our will to choose the truth that we recover from the problems that trouble us. It is true that we do not in ourselves possess the power to free ourselves from sin, but when we exercise the will and freely choose what is right, God imbues the mind with divine energy that provides the strength necessary to break free from destructive patterns of living. As the Apostle Peter said, we become partakers of the divine nature and live in harmony with God and his methods, 2 Peter 1:4. Then we become true soldiers of Christ, willing to be wounded, if necessary, in order to reveal the truth and win the war. My friend Graham Maxwell stated it this way, "I believe that the most important of all Christian beliefs is the one that brings joy and assurance to God's friends everywhere. The truth about our Heavenly Father that was confirmed at such cost by the life and death of His Son. God is not the kind of person His enemies have made Him out to be, arbitrary, unforgiving, and severe. God is just as loving and trustworthy as his Son, just as willing to forgive and heal. Though infinite in majesty and power, our Creator is an equally gracious person who values nothing higher than the freedom, dignity, and individuality of his intelligent creatures, that their love, their faith, their willingness to listen and obey may be freely given. He even prefers to regard us not as servants, but as friends. This is the truth revealed through all the books of Scripture. This is the everlasting good news that wins the trust and admiration of God's loyal children throughout the universe. Like Abraham and Moses, the ones God spoke of as his trusted friends, God's friends today want to speak well and truly of our Heavenly Father. We covet as the highest of all commendations the words of God about Job. He has said of me what is right.
That was Ralph Carmichael and the London Symphony Orchestra and Choir with a portion of their amazing rendition of the classic love song for God, How Great Thou Art, from Crystal River Records. I couldn't think of a better way to end a chapter on God's love and forgiving spirit than with that song. For the past three shows, we've been listening to Dr. Jennings read from his book, Could It Be This Simple? A Biblical Model for Healing the Mind. We'll continue making our prayerful way through this beautiful book on our next broadcast. We hope you'll tune in. Until then, check out the many resources that Dr. Jennings and his team have made available at commonreason.com. There are books to read, podcasts to enjoy, blogs to examine, videos to watch, lots of material to help you discover who God is and how God acts. All at commonreason.com. This program was sponsored by Come and Reason Ministries. Until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, wishing you God's presence in your life. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for spending time with us today. To continue the journey, I urge you to visit comeandreason.com. Here you'll find many excellent resources to help you gain a deeper understanding of the God we all love and serve. That's at comeandreason.com. This is Charles Mills, along with Dr. Tim Jennings, inviting you to join us the next time we come and reason together.